morning that is not, again, what God says. I want to remind you this morning that that's what people may have said. I want to remind you that's how people may have acted. That may be how the world has treated you. It may be that that's how the devil has spoken to you. But I want to remind you, Jesus came and gave them this illustration to say that's not how God thinks of any person that God has created. That is never something that has ever even entered into God's mind. To God's mind, there's no person that has no value or little value. He said, the truth is you are worth more than many sparrows. And Jesus said, fear not, fear not, fear not. He said, listen, God has a value attached to every person. I know that in the marketplace, there's sparrows sold for half a cent. Some of them are even given away. And he uses that illustration to, again, to teach us something that in God's sight, nobody is to be viewed that way from heaven. Nobody in heaven is expendable or doesn't matter or is not important. No, the truth is, he said, fear not, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You see, when people of this world consider you worthless, don't assume that God feels that way. My pastor gave an illustration. He said, as a young man, he came to God, he accepted Christ as a Savior, and then came to God, and he said this in his own words. He says, I gave God everything there was to give of me. He said, I gave God my life, that God would use my life in the future. And then he said this. He said, that wasn't very hard for me to do, because the truth is, nobody wanted what I was or what I could do anyway. Let me tell you what, there's a lot of people that are walking around that feel that way. My pastor, even after he many times had many, many people in church, he would again ask God in his prayer. He said, Lord, bless this little country preacher. Hey, I'm saying this, that maybe in your life you feel and you fear that you're not valued. You fear that you sometimes are felt like other people feel like you're worthless or have just a minute value. I want to remind you this morning, that's not what God thinks about you. The truth is, this world doesn't have the right system to value people. Think about it. They sold Joseph, one of the greatest people in the Bible, saved a whole nation from extinction and a whole race of people. They sold him for 30 pieces of silver. They sold Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one that was perfect, the one that never did wrong, the one that died for the sins of all the world. They sold him for 30 pieces of silver. They called David a lad. They called Peter, an unlearned and ignorant man. Hey, with God, we have great value. I want to remind you this morning that God knows your name. In Psalms 139, the psalmist said in verse 1, he said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. The psalmist said, God, I can't even imagine how great you are. You know every word I've ever spoken. You understand every thought I think. You never know every word that I say. God, you're next to me. You're in front of me. Your hand is upon me. Lord, you know everything about me. Hey, God knows who you are this morning. God knows everything about you. The truth is, God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows where you live. Job said in Job chapter 23, verse 10, he said he knoweth the way that I take. He said, I never walk down the street. God knows where I'm going. He knows the path I'm going to take. God knows every thing about you and me. He knows what's in your heart. He knows your intentions. He knows about your family. He knows about your business. He knows about your problems. He knows about your victories, and he knows about your defeats. Job said, wherever I walk, God knows where I am. God knows your heart. And you this morning and I this morning, we can talk to him and we can share our hearts with him. We could tell him how we feel and we could tell him what's burdening our hearts. We can confide in our God and we can be close to him and we can walk with him every day of our lives and every day of our eternity. Amen? I'm saying this morning that God sees you and God knows you and God is there with you and God is going to stay with you for not only this lifetime, but forever and ever and ever if you're a born-again Christian. We have a great God and a great God that values us. God cares for every one of us here this morning. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he said, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. Not only do you have a God that can handle our burdens, not only do we have a God that can carry our trials, but we have a God that cares about them. Hey, there's a lot of people out there that could handle our problems, but they don't care about our problems. They don't want to hear about our problems. If we tried to share our hearts with them and tell them what burdens us, they'd shut us down and say, listen, I got things to do. Hey, God says you and I can cast our burdens upon him because he cares about us. He's interested to hear about how we feel and what's in our hearts. We sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do you hear what you're singing, my friend? Do you believe what you're singing? Do you live by what you're saying? It's sad, the truth is, so many times we hear things, so many times we know things, but we really don't get it. We really don't, if you will, have it as a part of our everyday thinking. We walk around thinking like we're worthless, purposeless. Why are we here? What are we accomplishing? My friend, Jesus said, sparrows are like that. He says, but none of us is like that. He said, fear not, ye are of more value than many sparrows. We are his children. The Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 13, the Bible says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. In Galatians 3:26, the Bible says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. I serve notice to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, God is for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hey, you have more value than many sparrows. God, many times in the Bible, did go to people that were great people as you and I would view them. But think about how many insignificant people God went to. Think about in the Bible how many times God appeared not to the wise or the great or the successful or the famous, but God went to the sheep coat and found a little shepherd boy. Or God went out in the Sea of Galilee and found a bunch of fishermen mending their nets. Think about how many times God went to a woman that was, again, hiding from the enemies and went to her and say, listen, I'm going to use you and your husband in a great way. I'm going to use your little family there in Bethlehem, or use your little family there during the time of Judges to do a great work. Think about how many times God used a blind man or a deaf man or some child somewhere, or some little maid somewhere. God went out into the desert and found some shepherd out there and put a bush on fire for him to get his attention. God went out into some field and found some Elijah out there plowing with a yoke of oxen. God went out there and found some little young person, some young lady or some young man. And God most of the time has taken people that others even thought were insignificant, wouldn't make a difference, didn't have a lot of value, and God took them and God did great things with them. Hey, that's how God works most of the time. God took a little Moses who had been put in a little mud and reed boat out there on the Nile River. God did something great with him. God took a little boy that was sold from the pit into slavery. God took that young boy out there in Egypt and God used him, Joseph, in a great way. Hey, God took the little nobodies that nobody knew who they were. Who in the world ever heard of Ur of Chaldees? Who in the world knew who Abraham was? Nobody knew who Abraham was. Today, Abraham is a household name amongst Christian people because God went to a man and told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees. And the Bible says God came to Abraham there and he took him and used him to make a great nation. And God used him to bring about the grace of people whom the Messiah would come through. Hey, God is a God that takes people that everybody else might think, and maybe they themselves, even themselves, think have no value, and God uses them in great ways. So God gets the credit. Hey, I'm simply saying this. In Exodus chapter 19, verse number 4, God came to a group of people. They weren't even a nation yet. They were called the Hebrews because Abraham was called a Hebrew way back in Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. Abraham was called Abram the Hebrew. And here's a group of people. They had been in slavery over 400 years, 430 years. Nobody knew who they were and nobody cared who they were. The Pharaoh was in the process of throwing all the boys in the river so that the race would be extinguished and there would be no more Hebrews as the world knew it. And here's a group of people, and God came down to them in Exodus Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, and he said to them after he had brought them through the plagues in the Red Sea, he said, "You have seen what I did unto Egypt, the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." He said, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, that ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." Hey, God came down to a group of people that nobody knew who they were and nobody cared who they were. And God came and said, "Listen, I want to use you and I'm going to make you a treasure." Hey, they became God's treasure. Hey, they weren't anybody special, but they became a great treasure to God. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." Hey, God says, literally, those people right there, they're like precious jewels in God's sight. They're his treasure. Hey, God looks down at us. He looks at you, young lady, and he looks at you, young man. Other people may say, "Hey, she or he is worth half a cent to me. He or she is worth nothing to me." God says, "You're my treasure. You're my jewels. Hey, you're my children. You're the ones I value." Hey, that's what God looks at us and says. He values his people even if nobody else does. You look at who God used. God used in Noah and his family. Nobody listened to Noah for 100 years. The man was a preacher of righteousness. Nobody turned to Christ. Nobody turned to God in his whole ministry. God used a man named Noah. God took a Moses and used him. God took a little Gideon, who was the least in the smallest family of the smallest tribe, and God used him as a judge. God took an Esther and used her in a great way, an orphan girl whose mom and dad had died. God took Ruth, a woman whose husband had died, and God used her in a great way and wrote a whole book of Bible named after her. God took a man named Job, a man who again became completely bankrupt, but God used him. God took an Isaiah and a Jeremiah and an Ezekiel. God took a bunch of men like that hardly anybody listened to. As a matter of fact, many times they smote them and threw them in the dungeon, but God used them in a great way. Hey, God doesn't use the great of this world. Sometimes God uses the simple ones and the ignorant ones and the ones that nobody else wants. Hey, I'm saying that God has a way of valuing us far more than the world. When Samuel came to the house of Jesse and Jesse lined up his sons and David was out in the sheepcoat, even his own dad said, "You know what? My son, he'll never be a king." That's why Jesse didn't call him. He said he's out in the sheep pasture shoveling manure. That's probably what he's good for. Hey, he's not going to amount to anything. But God said, "No, that's the one that I want as the next king." Hey, don't you ever think you're of no value, young man. Don't you ever think your life doesn't matter, young lady. Hey, this world can treat you like a sparrow. They can sell you for half a cent or even give you away. But let me tell you what Jesus said. "Fear not, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Hey, Jesus said that's how God in heaven looks at you. Let me give you a few points this morning. Number one, we have value simply because of the fact that God created us. God created us. Let me say it again. God created you. Doesn't that mean something to you? God got his hands dirty making you out of the dust of the ground. God gave you the breath of life. God created you. God thought of you and created someone just like you. I'm looking for someone here that I can pick on. I mean, God made this. I mean, the hair, those eyebrows, those beady, greasy eyes. Hey, God made this. You know what? That commands respect right there. God made that. God gave that life. God gave that thing, being able to comprehend, it's alive. Hey, God made you. Hey, you say, "Why am I so important?" Because God doesn't get involved in foolishness. God doesn't waste his time. God doesn't do things that have no point or no aim. God doesn't get involved in things that are unimportant. He's God. Hey, God doesn't get involved in things that will not mean anything in eternity. Hey, Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 4, verse 2, he said, "The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold." Again, great value. But listen, he said, "How are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter?" Hey, this right here is the work of a master potter. Let me tell you what, my sister is a an artist. And she will be the first to tell you, and in her house, she's got a bunch of stuff. And I look at that stuff, and to me, I'm like, who thought of that? Who made that painting? And she's got some really interesting paintings in her house. But let me tell you what, she'll be the first to tell you, it's not the price of the paint. It's not the canvas it's made out of. It's not the stone that it's sculpted out of. It's not the wood. It's not the materials of the sculpture or the painting. It's who made it that makes it have great value. Hey, you see this right here? Listen, God made that. I mean, God put that together. God thought of this. And look at yourself in the mirror. God thought of you. Hey, God thought of you and put you together. And listen, you have great value because of who made you, amen? The Bible says we're the hands of the potter. And the Bible says we're worth like a treasure, like jewels, like fine gold. Why? Why? God, why am I worth so much? Remember the hands that formed you, the hands that created you, the mind that conceived you, the mind that created your mind and gave you your talents and abilities, and the Holy Spirit that gave you different abilities. Hey, it is God that assembled you and put you here on this earth for such a time as this. My friend, do you value God? Do you value the Lord, the God of all creation? Do you attribute to him success? Do you have esteem for him? If you do, my friend, you have to esteem the work of his hands. And you, my friend, are the work of his hands. You are the work of his mind. You are an expression of his creativity. You are an expression of what he wants to be accomplished on this earth. I'm saying you have great value, not because of who you and I are. Listen, my friend, we're 90% water. That's all we are. But because of who made us. God made us. He is the workman that worked on us. I look again. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath been before ordained that we should walk in them." I think of a carpenter that many times I've been with people that were builders, and they love to go around in neighborhoods and say, "I built that, and I put that up, and I fixed that, and I put that up, and I built this." Hey, let me tell you what, when I look around here and I see what God has made, hey, you are his workmanship. You are what God has put together. That's why you're of great value. It's because of who made you. That's why it's important that we believe in the dignity of humanity. You and I are made in God's image. We are not valueless. We are not worthless. We're not to just give our life away and throw our life away or sell out cheap. Are you listening, young people? You're not to just give yourself to the world and the devil and say, "Here, take me. Just give me half a penny." No, my friend, you have great value because of who created you. And it's your goal daily to be conformed to his image and to honor him. Hey, God said, "Fear not, you're of more value than many sparrows." All the time. I like what Mrs. Fields used to say. She says, "God doesn't make junk." Hey, God doesn't make nobodies. God doesn't make things that have no value. Hey, God doesn't spend his time working for 6 days to make a bunch of junk. No, 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 no. Fear not, you're worth. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. You say, why, preacher? Because God made you. Number two, you have great value because you're saved. Because you are saved, you belong to God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." Hey, you belong to God. You're saved. Could we demand for a few minutes even to have value in the sight of God? Could we somehow get together and give God a list of reasons why he should esteem us or value us? Could we get together and say, "God, we're important. Let me tell you, God, why I'm important." I don't think so. I don't think there's anything about us that's great. We do not and cannot create our own value. But listen, when God decided to send down his only begotten son to pay for our salvation, it set our price. You see, the price of salvation is the value that God attributes to every born-again believer. And by the way, if you're not saved here this morning, you need to understand the way God values you is this. Christ came and died on the cross for your sins. If you reject that, what a tragedy that would be. He gave his life for you, shed his blood for you, paid for all your sins. If you reject that, what a shame that would be to face God one day and have to pay for your sins with your own soul in hell. Hey, God thought that you were worthy of him sending his only begotten son down here so that he could be your sacrifice, pay your ransom and my ransom, and he did. But at that point, the heart of God and the mind of God was manifested to us. My soul, we have amazing value in the sight of God. God set the price of your soul at the cross, my friend. He set it when Christ became flesh in Bethlehem. But let me tell you what, at the cross, it was very obvious. That is the value, young lady, that you have in the sight and the mind of God. That's what God thinks your worth is and my worth is. That's God. Look, we have to understand, we don't set the value for ourselves. Illustration, a few months ago, we had the cake sale for the teenagers. And some folks spent a few dollars, maybe $3, $5, making some kind of brownies or making some kind of cake. And there was flour in there and some sugar in there and some eggs in there. And we took a $3 or $4 tray of brownies and we came here and people gave $20, $25, $30, $35, $40 for brownies. They gave $50 and $60 and $70 for a cake. You see, you have to understand, it's not you that set the price for the cake. It's the purchaser. It's the one that says, that's worth it to me. They're the one setting the value. I remember years ago, famous illustration by now, I remember my father and I were working on a job, and my father and I came out downstairs, and the guy had a trailer, and the guy opened the trailer. It was an enclosed trailer, and he opened up the back doors and started pulling out all this stuff. And my father, being my father, said, what's all that junk? And the man looked at him, indignation written all over his face. He said, that's not junk. Those are antiques. It's worth about $10,000. And my father said, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Let me tell you what. You have to understand, whoever pays $10,000 for those things is setting the value. It's not the wood. It's not the old rusty stuff that was in the trailer. It's not the antiques themselves. You can tell I'm made of the same material as my dad. It's not the rusty junk that sells its value. It's the person saying, I want that rusty junk and I'll pay $10,000 for it. My friend, that's who sets the value. My friend, you don't set your price. You don't set your price. The one that buys you, that bought you, set the price. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, the Bible says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. My friend, you're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Precious blood of Jesus Christ. What's the price? There is no price. That's what you were bought for. You are literally priceless if you look at God's perspective. You literally have no price. We could scrape together all the money in the world, and it would not be able to buy who you are in God's sight. Again, you can't put a price on God's son coming here and becoming flesh and die on the cross for us and shedding his blood to give us remission of sins. You can't set a price. My friend, if you're bought that price, that's what you're worth in the sight of God. Matthew chapter 18, we have the story of the little lost sheep out there in the wilderness. My friend, what's the little lost sheep worth? A lot. A lot, you say. What do you mean a lot? I could tell by the shepherd. The shepherd leaves the 99 in the wilderness. He goes out into the mountains. He goes out into the darkness. He himself faces the lion and the bear and the wolves. And he goes out there and he seeks and seeks and seeks. And he will not stop until he finds it. And when he finds it, he picks it up and carries it on his shoulders and brings it back to the 99. That sheep has great value because what the shepherd's willing to do to have that sheep back. You have great value. Jesus said, fear not. Fear not. He says, you're value, far more value than many sparrows. Because God created you, and God set your price at the cross. Number three, you have great value because you bear his name. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 7, God said, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. You know, once in a while, you work with people, and they pull out their card, and they say, I'm with IBM, or I'm with Merck, or I'm with Ford, or I'm with Honda. Who are you with? Who do you belong to? Who do you work for? Who do you serve? Who are you trying to come with? Hey, remember what they said? Blessed comes he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hey, you know why you have great values? Because who you're with. Hey, who's affiliated with you? Whose name you carry? Hey, you have great value because you have the name Christian. Amen? Who are you with? I'm with the Lord. Amen? Hey, I'm nothing, but let me tell you, he's everything. You can't have a bigger boss than him. You can't have a richer boss than him. You can't have a greater affiliation than to be affiliated with God, to be part of his family, to be part of his ministry, to be part of his people. Hey, you have great value because God's people have great value. God's servants have great value. God's men and women have great value. Hey, a place that you and I have great value is with God. You're more value than many sparrows. Number four, God sets a value for us because of his personal presence with us. God's personally present with you. Last week, something happened that upset me greatly, bugs me. It's been bugging me all week. Pancrats baptized over here. Man, that bothers me. I'm the one that baptizes people because I like baptizing people. But in the 3:30 service, he started baptizing, and he baptized two people on top of it last week. That bothers me. That annoys the daylights out of me. I like doing that myself. I have an issue. I have problems. But you see, you say, what do you mean? Because I consider that important. I want to be there. Hey, I don't want to delegate that to a John Pancrats. I don't want to delegate that to nobody, to be honest with you. Why? Because that's something I like doing. That's something I want to have my hands on. Amen? Listen, I sent a letter to the president some time ago, and again, just letting him know that we're praying for him, and I received a letter back, just thanking us for our prayers and so forth as a church. I'm not dumb enough to think he signed that. Secretary signed that. I don't know. Somebody signed it. Maybe the guy in the post office signed it. I have no idea. You know why? Because in this case, he can't, but I'm saying the truth is it's not that important for him to answer Mike Dingus's letter. Here we are. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Holy Spirit's giving you certain gifts and talents and abilities. The Holy Spirit wants to work through your life. God's presence is with you, my friend. That makes you important. That makes you very, because God's presence. Hey, when you go in the Old Testament, I believe the most amazing place, the most holy place, the whole entire face of this earth was where the tabernacle was, because God's presence was there. And in the tabernacle, the most holy place was the greatest place on the face of the earth, because that's where God's presence was. My friend, today you're the temple of God. God lives in you. You say, I have no value. That's like saying God and where he is not important. That doesn't even make sense. My friend, God has chosen to live within your spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives within you and I after we accept Christ. Listen, and once Christ is our Savior, God becomes our Father, and the Holy Spirit lives within us. My friend, what a great truth is this. God's presence in us and with us is what gives us great value, because God has great value. Hey, if God's in something, it has great value. And in the Old Testament, they took all their best stone and their best wood and their best gold and their best silver, and they built a magnificent tabernacle where God dwelt there above the Ark of the Covenant. And listen, that's where God's presence was. But today, God has chosen to use the lives and the bodies that he has created to have his presence in. You have great, fear not, ye are of more value than many sparrows. The truth is, you're more valuable than all the sparrows in the world. You're more important than all the animals of the world. You're more important than all the mountains of the world and all the planets of the solar systems. Why? Because God lives in you. God doesn't live in the ocean, and God doesn't live in the sky, and God doesn't live on the moon or the sun. He lives in you. Gives you great value. Here we are, and God could have sent down some prophet or priest or some angel and said, hey, you stick with that God guy. And God said, no, I'm going to do it myself. God didn't send some archangel down here to live in us. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. Hey, I'm saying that's what makes us important, because God chose personally to dwell in us. That shows he cares. Amen? The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32, the Bible says in verse 10, he found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. The Bible speaking there about the Hebrew people. God says, the apple of my eye. Says, they're the middle, the core of my eye. God says, I got my eye right on those people. And God has his eye right on his people because God's presence is there. God has assured us of his personal presence throughout life. Bible says in Isaiah 43, verse 2, he says, when thou passest through the waters, God is speaking. He says, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hey, you have great value. You know why? God's presence is within your heart. That makes you very, 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 very valuable. Because my God has no value. And if God is within you, you have great value. My friend, if I took a huge diamond and I stuck it inside this loose leaf book and I stuck it in there and I stuck it in its amongst its pages, all of a sudden this lousy old $2 loose leaf notebook would become worth $10 million. You know why? Because what's inside there? And you wouldn't be surprised if this went up for auction and I'd say $10 million, $11 million, $12 million, whatever. You'd say, that doesn't look very valuable, but what's inside there is infinitely valuable. That's how your life is in my life, amen? Number five, God values you based on the work he has done in us. I have to be quiet and stop. God values us because of the work he's invested in us. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's invested in you. God's been working on you. God has, if you will, given his talent and his ability and his work on this earth, his love, his compassion. Look, if right now, if we could bring God here and somehow we could convince God to work for us by the hour, what would you offer God to work for you? You'd say, God, how about $1 million an hour? We know what God can do. We know who God is. God's got to be worth $1 million an hour, isn't he? You'd say, that's a steal. That's a cheap price. Okay, let's set the price. God, when he works, his work is worth $1 million an hour. How many hours has God invested in you? How much time has God listened to you, spent with you, spent working on you? How much time and how many hours do you estimate that God has invested in your life? Total it up. That's your value. God has invested in you by his work. Again, the Hebrews were worth a lot. You know why? Because God had provided for them. God had been good to them. We look at these people in the Bible and we see, hey, they had great value. You know why? Because God had been working on them. What is the cost of your health, your life, your sight, your hearing, your mind, your family, prayer, the word of God, your salvation? Add it all up and that's your worth. That's God's investment in you. In Psalms 103, verse number 2, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The Bible says in Psalms 105, verse 5, the Bible says, remember his marvelous works that he has done. You have great value because God spent a lot of time and work on you and me. It's a lot. And let me close by saying this. Number 6, we're worth a lot because of the value of God's protection. The Bible says in Psalms 31, verse 23, O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Have you ever thought about it? Do you know that the devil right now would love to destroy you? Do you understand that this world, again, could have eaten you up a long time ago? Do you know that someone's been protecting you? Who can stand against all the demons of hell? Hey, do you know that God has been preserving you? Hey, if you had to go out and hire a personal security guard, strong enough to protect you from the devil, strong enough to protect you from the world, strong enough to protect your mind and protect your soul, protect your salvation, what would it cost you? God's been protecting you, my brother. God's been standing by you. Gehazi's eyes were open in 2 Kings, and the Bible says he had never seen this before. He beheld around him, the mountain was full of angels round about him. Hey, God had his protection around him all the time, not just that day. He just never realized it. How many times should you have been killed? How many times should have tragedy struck into your life? How many times did the devil want to destroy you or take away your children or take away your health or take away how many times has the devil wanted to sift you and God has stopped him? How many times has God stood in the balance and caused you to be spared? How many times has God prevented you from some tragedy? How many times has God protected you from some accident or some disease or some kind of crime or something that nature could have done to you? Maybe some kind of a tragedy of nature or being in the wrong place at the wrong time. My friend, you and I don't even know. I have no idea. I have no idea how much God has protected me and watched out for me. No idea. Neither do you. My friend, Jesus, you said, see these sparrows? Two of them sold for a farthing, half a cent each. You can get five for two farthings because they'll give one away. He says, don't you ever feel like them. Don't you ever feel like you're worth half a cent or even nothing? He said, fear not. Fear not. Don't ever be afraid about one thing. Hey, lady, are you listening? Sir, are you listening? Don't ever be afraid that you have no value. Jesus, you have more value than many sparrows. Lord, thank you again for giving us that value. Certainly, Lord, there's no way we could even begin to create that value for ourselves. But Lord, your creation of us and your salvation and your presence, Lord, your investment in us, your protection of us, Lord, is far beyond our capability to even put a price on. Lord, thank you for, again, giving us this teaching, Lord, in Matthew chapter 10 and in the book of Luke. Lord, we ask that we would take it to heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. You'd say, preacher, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. You can remember a time when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ to save your soul. You'd say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I've accepted Christ. Would you put your hands up as a testimony? You may put your hands down. Maybe some of you, and some of you are honest, you could not put your hands up. You right now are trying to get to heaven by being good or going to church or being part of a religion or getting baptized or whatever the case is. The Bible doesn't say we get to heaven by any of those things. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the one that saves us. If you could say, honestly, preacher, I've never accepted Christ. You'd be honest and you say, preacher, I've never put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I've ever made that decision in my heart. I don't remember a time like that. Would you slip up your hand? I'm not trying to embarrass you or single you out, but you'd say, preacher, I don't remember ever accepting Christ as my Savior. I don't know if I have accepted his payment on the cross. In a few minutes, we're going to have invitation. If you're not sure you're going to go to heaven, we'll have men and ladies up here. If you'd like to have them open the Bible, show you very simply in the Bible, not the Baptist way, but God's way, how to get to heaven, they'd love to show you that. If you need to get baptized, make it public that you are a Christian. You've accepted Christ, but you've never made it public by baptism. You walk this aisle and take care of that. Maybe there's some decision in your heart. Let's pray, and then we'll have our invitation. Lord, we again pray if there's someone here in the house that's not sure of their salvation, Lord, that you would give them a chance to accept you as their Savior. Lord, we pray if there's someone here that needs to make it public that they're a Christian, they need to get baptized biblically and tell everybody they believe you died and were buried and rose again. Lord, please, again, give us an opportunity to do that. And Lord, we pray that we would never, never, never fear one thing, Lord, that we have no value. Lord, that's a silly, silly, silly idea that the devil comes up with. That's a silly, silly idea that some people may come up with. But Lord, it's never even entered your mind. Lord, it's never been on your lips. Lord, you've done so much for us and given us so much, Lord, that if we're worthless, Lord, that means you're worthless, and that cannot be. Lord, may it be so, and Lord, may your word not just, may it not just be in our ears, but Lord, may it be in our hearts. May we make this a part of our thinking. Lord, may we value our lives the way we should, and may we honor you the way we should for giving us such great value. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Piano will play. Maybe there's a place somewhere along the line that God's touched your heart. Jesus was talking to regular people just like you and me, and he said, I know your fears. Your fears are as you get older or as you maybe lose your health or maybe as you're young and maybe things go wrong. He says, I know your fears. Your fears are the same fears of every human being. Your fears of not being valued. That's a great fear, to not be valuable, to be an asset, to be worth something, to be able to accomplish something. And he says, yeah, I know it. Sometimes you feel like those sparrows in the marketplace. Those boys, they're selling them five for two farthings because to them, they'll even give one away. It's worth nothing to them. Sometimes Jesus was looking at the people, says, sometimes you feel like that. But the truth is, that's not something that your Heavenly Father ever thinks. Jesus said, fear ye not, for ye are worth more than many sparrows. Lady, don't you ever think that you're not somebody important. Sir, don't you ever think that God has not given you a purpose. You have great purpose and great plans. Don't you ever think about taking your own life or thinking about just giving up or sitting on the sideline. No, you have great potential if you'll give yourself to God and let God keep investing in you and working through you. But Jesus said, I know how a lot of people feel. He said, fear you not. You have great, great value. Great, great value. And listen, don't listen to what people say because they don't know what they're talking about. Don't listen to what the world says in this marketplace. This world's like a big marketplace. Everybody's saying this one's worth something, this one's not. He says, but they have no idea. They sold the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. Can you imagine? If anything, it's exactly opposite what they say. But Jesus said this, fear ye not, for ye are of more value than many sparrows.
Amen. Let's all bow our heads. Father, we just want to thank you for just a wonderful message, dear Lord, a clear cut and very easy to understand. Father, we thank you for giving our lives value. Dear Lord, thank you for that sacrifice that today, dear Lord, we have value in your sight, dear Lord. We're important to you. And Father, we ourselves should also take that seriously. But dear Lord, at the same time, I think we should also show that to our peers, dear Lord, our friends and our family, that they also have value. And dear Lord, we should treat them such. Lord, once again, we ask that you would just bless everyone as they go home, bring them back safely for the afternoon service. In Jesus' precious name, amen.